of our subject today. Feeding hungry people. Now, I'll have to tell you, I thought about us. How we love to eat. I've said this before when Elder Park and I get together, who's First Church of God in Christ, one of our major conversations is who eat the most, Church of God in Christ or Baptist folks. Both of them, according to Elder Park and myself, do a pretty good job in eating. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The provisions for human and material needs. Bread in biblical days, as it is now with a lot of us, is one of the staple objects in our meal. We like bread. If you go to Ryan's today, one of the things that they're going to tell you they will give you hot out of the oven are rolls, bread. Then they'll have some more over there on the counter where you go over to get your food, bread. Bread is one of the staple parts of a diet. But trying to meet human needs is something else. But if you try to meet your needs by any other source other than Jesus the Christ, you will be doomed for failure. And you will not be satisfied. Faith and trust are essential for God to meet our needs. I know we have jobs and we count on our jobs. But I stop by to tell you, you need to look to Christ, which is the source of all things. But then the faith and trust that we need, there are several levels of it that we must attain. And we're going to try to talk to you about those levels today. I think I have 4 or 5 points and a closing, and I don't have my closing on the paper. Point number one comes from verses 1 through 6 of the sixth chapter of the book of John. I title this one, The Setting. Jesus is getting on the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. Some call it a lake, and some places you will see that, you will read that it is a sea. It's about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. And down within that valley, they said some terrible winds can come up. But then Jesus had another wind, a storm that were watching him. And this was the surging crowd that were following him. And they saw what he did. So in order for them to make the track around the lake, it was about a 9-mile journey. And they saw in the direction that he was going, and they started on their journey across the lake. They were following him, and they had been following him for a long time. And they kept on following him because they were looking at the ministry that he was doing with his miracles. And the people saw that Jesus was tired and weary, but they didn't want to leave him alone. Jesus was tired and weary from the pressure of the crowd day after day. And I say this sometime and standing here, and I know y'all probably say that's all he does is stand up there and talk for about 25 or 30 minutes, and then he sat down. If I talk any longer than that, somebody want to get up and leave, but try standing and proclaiming the word of God. It's draining. It works on you. My wife can tell you when I go home this afternoon, if I don't have anything else to do, I'll shower and I'll get in the recliner and I'll pull the lever. Yeah, in about 5 or 10 minutes, I'll be asleep. And most of the time, that's why I keep on this robe until I can get out of here. My undershirt will be wet from standing here preaching this word. It drains you because you are doing something that I can't explain to you. If you're just doing it for show, it won't bother you. If you are singing and playing just for the sake of doing it, hey, it's a piece of cake. But if you're doing what you're doing because of the love of God, God works on you. And it's something that you want to do. And this is why he had to get away. He had to get away so he could have some downtime. And his downtime was to go someplace and talk to the Father. Needed to communication. Need to go back and get refueled. If you keep driving your vehicle, I don't care what kind of mileage it gets, you're going to have to stop by BP or Tom Thumb or Chevron or Amco used to be one of them that, and gas it up. That's the way we need to do when you serve God, because it's draining. And I'm trying to get you to see where he was and what he was doing. He had been teaching and preaching this gospel of his Father. And it was near Passover season. And in Passover season, people travel, and they true Jews were trying to get to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when I think of the Passover, I said this before, I think about May Day. A lot of people that live away from here used to, I don't know whether they still do it or not now, they tried to make sure they would get back for May Day. They would save up and save their work time so they could come back for May Day. And this is what the Passover was to the Jew. They were going back to celebrate the coming out of Egypt. You've seen, most of you have seen the Ten Commandments when Charles and Heston them got that little green stuff to come around and kill everybody, all the children, the firstborn of the children of Egypt. That's what they were going to celebrate. And they were going there for feast. There was a great company of people, including all those and those that just wanted to see another miracle. They were excited. They were traveling. And when you get one crowd and you get another crowd with them and you mix them, there gets to be another excitement, because it's somebody new. Jesus saw all of this, and he's like most pastors. He'll seize the moment. If it gets to the place where you get a crowd of people in the church and you haven't planned to preach, and you get a crowd, you get somebody in the church, you can preach. If you're walking in the anointing, because God will give you what they need. And Jesus seized the moment, the setting, to teach them a lesson. And to teach them a lesson about themselves and about how God wanted them to be. Time out, time out, time out. Do y'all remember, y'all that were here, and I'm looking at somebody, and you were here last week, the message that I preached last week? The Son of God has come to the earth. This is why he come. He came so that people could understand how God wanted us to be. That's why we need to study the life of Jesus, so we can see how God wants us to be. He did nothing that he didn't consult with the Father. Why are you telling us that, Baker? Because some of us, help me, Holy Ghost, Do any and everything we think we're big enough to do, and nobody don't tell me what to do. You ought to be getting instructions from heaven. So you will be like Jesus would have you to be. Okay, let's come back. He saw the multitude. They went across the sea. And they got to where they were going to be, where he needed for them to be. You need to understand that he was trying to get his disciples to see that you need to supply the needs of people. The people were desperate for two things. They were desperate for food, and they were desperate for a leader. And all that they needed was in the boat. Jesus was all that they needed. But Jesus, he was concerned about them, but he was trying to teach the disciples that whatever the needs of the people are, you supply that need. And in supplying that need, they will see that they need to come to Christ. Jesus used this occasion to teach a great lesson. And the great lesson that he will teach is that he will meet even the most minute need of men. He asked his disciples, "Where shall we buy bread that these might eat?" His concern to strengthen the disciples, knowing all the time that there was no food, and he knew the amount of money that he had. He knew that he knew, and I think that's in the passage, he knew what he was going to do before he asked them. See, sometime, and most of you, if you got children, you've done this to them. You ask them a question, and you already knew the answer. You posed the question just to see what they were going to say. To check them out, to see how they're going along. It was a test to strengthen the disciples and teach them a lesson in faith. Point number two. The pessimistic faith. It's found in verse 7. This is seen in Philip. Philip needed to see his faith for what it was. Pessimistic. The disciples either had $200 in the treasure, or else Philip was just reaching up, grabbing a number, pulling it down because he knew they didn't have anything. So he said that this would take more than 200 pence worth of dineros to feed all of these people. And you do know that there were no McDonald's or Burger King's around, don't you? No Ryan's around to just say, let's pre-order. No, they didn't have anything. The pessimist faith forgets what God's glorious power in the past have done. Have you ever been there? God doesn't bless you to live to get 75 years old, Brother Means. And you forget how far God have already brought you. And you began to doubt that he can take you any farther. Well, I stop by to tell you that you need to don't have pessimistic faith. Don't forget what God have done for you in the yesterdays. Use it as a step ladder to get a little bit higher. The pessimist faith fails to think of God's power. Of all the power that God have, we forget to think about it. We think about ourselves and what we can do. The pessimistic faith feels that the problem is too big for God. For God is too big for the power that God have, or either is too small for God to think about. See, some of us sometimes feel like we're nobody because in the church we might not have a title or position. But I stop by to tell you that God, Jesus, didn't die on the cross for positions. He died so souls could be saved. All those that would come to him and believe on him and serve him, he came because of that. Don't worry about the size of your problem. Just think about how big your God is. If you got a small God, he can't do much. But if you got a big God, there's not anything that he cannot do. I stop by to tell you, you don't need to think about how small God is. Think about how big he is. Don't forget about the size of your problem. Just think about how big your God is, and your pessimistic faith will go away. Listen, the pessimist's faith gives thanks and praise to God for what one has, but he fails to trust God for the miraculous things that he's already done or that he can do. Some of us look at what we have in our hand, and we got a loaf of bread on our arm, and we talking about we're hungry. God, if I just had some meat to go with this bread, I'd be all right. But Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If you eat the bread, everything would be all right. See, we got to get away from talking about what we don't have to appreciate what we do have. Listen, a pessimist faith look for others to help instead of looking to God and depending on God alone. I love all of you, and I want to see y'all in heaven, but if you don't go, that's going to be your problem. I'm going to teach this word, and I'm going to try to get you to go with me, but if you don't want to go, that's your problem. I'm going to look at you, and if you decide to go to hell, you want to go to hell, so you're going to go to hell. I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to keep looking at Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on the cross and look at what I have. I got salvation. I got eternal life because I'm believing in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. The pessimist faith fails to see that God is glorified when he provides and meet our needs. Listen, if you exalt him, Jesus said it. He said, if I be lifted up, if you lift him up, he'll draw all men unto him. If you got somebody that you want to be saved, don't you try to convince them. You just tell them about Jesus the Christ and lift up Jesus Christ. Don't lift up yourself. Don't talk about you and what you can do. Tell them what thus saith the Lord. And every now and then you get a chance to tell them your testimony about what God have done for you. The pessimist faith don't want God to get the credit. He wanted himself. Point number three, there is the optimistic faith, but questioning faith. That's in verses 8 and 9. This was seen in Andrew. The optimistic faith, it questioned God, but it loves the Lord and it is committed to the Lord. Andrew saw Christ's concern, so he went out in the crowd and found a little boy. I imagine in my mind, I thought I had one, but I don't have it. He had a brown paper bag, and he had it wrapped up in there. He didn't have aluminum foil. He just had it laying in there just like it was in a brown paper bag. And Andrew had found the little boy in the audience, and he had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And Andrew had found out what he had. He was optimistic. He believed Jesus could do what he had seen him do before, but he just didn't believe it. He said, well, y'all, let me paraphrase this if I can. He came back and he said, well, Jesus, I found a little boy. I said, but he doesn't have much. Said, he got his lunch. He got 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. Said, that ain't much. Jesus said, bring it to me. Listen now, let me tell you about a barley loaf. A barley loaf ain't much. It's just the poorest kind of bread you can find. Doesn't cost much. Some of you young people might not know what I'm talking about, but when you used to have to go to the grist mill and get the corn grind to make meal, and you bring it back home, and they would make bread. Didn't have any milk to put in the bread, so you made water bread. You just put water in the meal and you mix it. And every now and then, if you had something good, they might put an egg in it. But sometimes you didn't have an egg, so you made water bread. You made water and you just mixed the meal up. And help me, Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for letting me go through it. You could take the bread and get a little grease and put it in the skillet and put it on top. Fried on top of the stove. I like it when they make it in little hoe cakes, about that big around. around and that make water bread and you eat it. That's what it was. See, it was the worst kind. And y'all have to excuse me. I thought to me, I said, I don't know what kind of fish they had over there. But I said if it was a cheap kind of fish over here, it would either have been a croaker or a mullet that you had to be getting in there. So he had two little ones, wasn't the big ones, and he had it and he gave it to Jesus. But the story I want you to get out of this is whatever you have, if you give it freely to Jesus, it's all right. It would be enough. Andrew thought he was doing this, but Jesus can make it out with whatever you need. Just a little with Jesus is a whole lot with everybody else. Just a little bit of Jesus will get you saved and get you on the road to going to where God needs for you to be. This wasn't much, but it was all he had. This little boy, I just imagined in my mind when he left home that morning. Mama said, "Where you going?" He said, "Well, this man called Jesus is over there." I said, "I'm going." She said, "Well, you better take you something to eat. See, you don't know what you're doing. When you do just what you can for your children and they do for somebody else, God will bless you because you are helping somebody else. You got to stay there with it." He questioned her. "This ain't much, Lord, but how is this for so many?" That's why I thank you, Lord. I believe that we made it as far as we have because we always help somebody else. I keep mentioning this, y'all, because I don't know about nobody else. But when they killed a hog in Baker, everybody ate hog because they shared it with everybody else. See, you got to give when God touches it. It's a whole lot. If you try to keep it to yourself, some people in the community killed a hog and didn't want everybody to know they killed it. It didn't last long. But if you shared with everybody, God will bless you. If you share what you have with those that might not have, God will bless you and it will make it go a little bit farther. Y'all, time out. Let me catch my breath. I got to finish this, y'all. Let me tell y'all why I got to finish this. Because God, and this is especially for you. You will want to preach something else, but God won't let you. You can't, and I like to write stuff down. I can't write it. I couldn't write anything down on what I wanted to write down. I started. I know y'all got to go. I know y'all got to go, but I have to teach every chance I get. I saved it here, just right here. I started right on 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And all I got here it is right here. That's all I got. I couldn't write nothing else. So I quit. And I said, "God," I said, "this must not be what," I said, "help me. Help me. Because I intend to do just what he helped me to do." Somebody here today needed to hear about the level or the quality of your faith. And God sent you here to hear this message that this crazy man is trying to get over to you. But you to believe in him and don't worry about your level of faith. You just keep letting it change and grow the way God wanted to grow. These were disciples of Jesus who had these different levels of faith. Well, let me see where I am. Questioning and optimistic faith often deteriorates into complaining about the problem. Y'all remember the children of Israel, don't you? God done brought them out of slavery. He opened up the Red Sea, let them walk across on dry land. They get across there and then they start complaining again. We don't have no water to drink. Instead of going to God and talking to him, we complain. God said, "Moses, see that tree over there? Said, cut it down and let it fall in the water." They drunk clean water. So see, don't let your questioning God become complaining to God about what you do not have. If you just got a little bit, raise your hands. If you have to close your eyes and just thank God. Thank God. If you're going home and you don't have anything in the refrigerator to eat but a can of pork and beans that you opened yesterday and you ate half of them, look at them and thank God for what you got. If you use what you got and give God the glory, He's gonna bless it. But you got to thank Him. In your questioning, just thanking for what you have. If that child is acting contrary, just don't want to do right, and you keep praying, thank God that he's no worse than he is. Thank God that she's going to get better. If that husband's not going to church, thank God that he got a job and he's coming home. Thank God God, I know you wouldn't bless me with this if you wasn't gonna get the glory out of it. Y'all have to help me out. I know 35 or 40 years ago, if somebody would have told her I'd be standing where I'm standing now, she would have tried to wrap you up and take you to Chattahoochee. Because you don't know. But if you thank God for what you have, because there are a lot of people would love to have what you have. I heard this, and I'm going to get to my next point, and then I'll be out your way. This lady got a divorce from her husband, and he was talking about how useless and sorry she was. The story goes, after they came out of the divorce court, she went home, went to the beauty parlor, got a hairdo, got a tint streak in her hair, went to Parisians, got her a new dress and a bag and a hat, and come out that Sunday morning when she come to church, everybody was talking about, who is that new lady? Keep what you use, what you got, and God will bless it. But you gotta thank God. He thought she was no good. There was another song I tell you about. I ain't gonna tell y'all about that one. Point number four: the positive, unswerving faith. This is found in verses 10 through 13. And y'all knew I had to get to this one, didn't you? This is seen in Christ. Christ himself demonstrated for the disciples the kind of strong faith they were to have in God. Well, you say that we don't have but 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I know that's not enough to feed all these people if you just look at it for what it is. What they brought, Jesus did not turn it away. He did not tell them that that's not enough. Go back and get some more. They brought it. He took it. When he took it, help me, Holy Ghost. He said he lifted it up. And he looked towards heaven. I don't know what he said, but I can just hear him say, Father, Father, these have been following me and now they're empty. They need food. And right here my mind goes to an old hymn. I don't know but one line of it. It says, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And the Bible says that he took it and he blessed it and then he gave it away. See, when God bless us, help me, Holy Ghost, we want to keep it to ourselves. When God bless you, give it away. When it blessed him, he gave it to the disciples and said, feed them. And I wonder, y'all, and y'all have to excuse me for wondering. I wonder what those brothers thought there that when they saw him just kept giving it out and they just remember what they had given. Do you do that? Yeah. God get to blessing somebody. And you know that how they used to be. How is God blessing them? It's not for you to know. It's just for you to receive the blessings of God. And if you stay in the way, God will bless you. God told them, said, have them to sit down in groups and feed the groups. And I can imagine them just going around, passing it right here. And when they gave this one, that looked like all of them before they could get to the next one. Some more had been produced, and it just kept being produced. That's what God does with you. He just keep reproducing you. Listen. What I want to do, my ambition is to reproduce people that love God as much as I love God, or more than I love God. Because the way I love him now, in the yesterdays I didn't love him like that. Because he's all I got now. I don't have anything else. I'm sold out. Everything I have is to God be the glory. Because I am nothing without God. That's the way we have to see. When I gave myself to him, I thought I was something. I know now. I don't have to think about it. I know I'm something. I know I'm a child of God. And I don't need no other child. Don't need anything else. I'm just a child of God because of the unswerving faith that Jesus Christ had in those two fish and five loaves of barley bread, cheap bread. The kind you get that's really buy one, get two free. This little boy had five barley loaves and two little fish. Jesus took it, he gave it, and God provided an answer, and in the answer was provisions for those that were in need. Whatever you stand in the need of, God got it. He got it in his warehouse. He's just waiting on you to call it up. You got to order it. You got to order. If you order it, it's in God's warehouse. It got your name on it. Some of us don't have the blessing that we need because we have not asked God for the blessing that we stand in need of. We just waiting for him to voluntarily get it. No, Spiegel won't voluntarily send you something if you don't place an order. Or what's this other thing on? QVC? They won't send you something if you don't order. You got to order what you want from God. And what you want from God have to be within the will of God, what God have for you. Listen, whatever you ask God for, you need to make sure that God will get the glory from it. If he's not going to get the glory from it, why should he give it to you? But you say, you got to be his child. I have, my wife and I, we have two children. You're not going to get as much as they get. Just going to take up front. You're not going to get it. They're going to get what they want, and a lot, mostly, especially what they need. You will get some. Not all. And you could tell me the same thing. That God's, if you are his child, he's going to bless you with everything you stand in the need of, and then bless you with everything you stand in the need of. There's going to be some wants that you're going to get. Like, I lay you odds, if I was a betting man, a nickel to five with a hole in it, to anything you got, that everybody in here got another piece of clothing that you can put on when you get home. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Because, well, in the biblical days, they just try to have one piece. And that was a piece they had on. So you're blessed. But because of this unswerving faith of Jesus Christ, he fed all those people that were in need. And after he told the disciples to gather up what's left, they gathered up 12 baskets. And me with my thinking, I said they went by the little boy's house. Uh-huh. Yeah. And dropped it off. And he started a business. He started helping people. If you don't have, come to this store. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. But I said, to me, the attitude of Jesus, he will help people that seem to want to help other people. And so therefore, he helped, the little boy helped them with all he had. He gave all. It doesn't say he left home with more than that. That's what he left home with according to the Bible. Now, don't y'all go out and say that. Baggett said that was what I just said was in the Bible. Because I didn't say that. I said Baggett said. That was my thinking. God always gives an abundance of what is needed. This is what he did with the little boy's bread. He gave an abundance of what they needed. And my closing, if I had to title this one, I'll say the materialistic profession of Jesus. The people were professing that Jesus was the Messiah, which is true. They wanted to make him king. See, this is why you have to watch and be thinking along God's line. People will want to do what's right, but they won't do it on God's time. It was not time for him to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Their timing was not God's timing, so Jesus had to get out of the way. He had to get away from there and leave because it was not time for him to be crowned Lord of Lords and King. It was not time for him to go to the cross and be crucified. It was time for him to show. He did this to teach the disciples a lesson. You can be saved and following Jesus the Christ, but there's still something that you are lacking, something you do not have. You will not be the way God wants you to be until you have finish your life here on this earth. Every one of us can get closer and closer to God if we just stay with him and allow him to come into our lives and do what he needs for to do in our life. But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that God is working in your life. When he's working in your life, then you will be doing what he needs you, and you will not be in a hurry. You will not be uncomfortable doing what God would have you to do. When you get uncomfortable, it's because you want to do something else. I could have preached from 1 Corinthians if I wanted to. I could have. But the desire on the inside of me is to do what thus saith the Lord. This is what he put in my spirit to preach this message. But I want it. You understand how I'm saying that? When you sell out to God, you don't have a choice. I told y'all this the other week. Somebody asked me what was my opinion about abortion. I told them I don't have one. Because I am an ambassador of Christ. And to do an abortion is to take a life. And you don't do that. You just don't do it. There's some things you don't do because you know it's wrong. And so therefore, if you are a child of God, you'll make people angry with you because you don't agree with what they're saying. But if you are standing on the word of God, that you may take and destroy this body, but I'll rise again. Because when we leave this body, Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with Christ. Somebody said, the blinking of an eye, you can be in the presence of Christ if you are his child. So you have to walk the way God would have you to walk. And when you walk that way, then you are going to offend people. Just keep walking with Christ. And after a while, You pray that they will see the same thing that you see.